With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I don't get nervous for too many interviews that I do, but I was nervous as heck to talk to Kurt Warner for the first time because I'm such a big fan. Hall of Fame quarterback, and enjoy listening to him now in the second phase of his career. And boy, does he have a lot of different business ventures going on. He's got at least as many irons in the fire as does Peyton Manning, who, by the way, was back on ESPN2 as part of Monday Night Mannings. I know they call it something else, but I think Monday Night Mannings is perfect. Get this, though. I didn't watch any of it because I really needed to focus on the game. And if I'm watching and I don't care what happens, I'm not taking notes. I don't need to know the nuances and the ebbs and flows of a game. Well, then I'll hang out and I'll watch the Mannings for the entire broadcast. But I really couldn't because I needed to know what was going to happen. Well, Let me back up. I needed to know that what I expected was exactly what was going to happen. Yes, so predictable. Was there any doubt in my mind that Aaron Rodgers would come out at Lambeau Field under the lights against a division opponent after getting embarrassed in the season opener and show off his MVP form? Oh, and then give some love to his critics and doubters and trolls after the fact? No, there was no doubt in my mind. So essentially, I needed to watch to be sure I was right. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Some things in sports and life are uber predictable. This, to me, fell right into that category. I knew this was going to happen. What are those other things in sports, those other storylines or outcomes that are so predictable you can see them a mile away? You don't even need to watch to know it's exactly what's going to happen. And so we're getting some really entertaining answers on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Brian has a good one, Alabama in the college football playoffs. And there have been many that have kind of focused on the dubious streaks of various teams. Revolving doors at quarterback, constantly rebuilding, constantly fading or falling flat on their faces in big moments or never having big moments. So it's funny because we tend to focus on the negative, but certainly there are plenty of positives that you could look at and say, yeah, that's pretty predictable, like Tom Brady leading a team to the Super Bowl. It doesn't happen every year, but it does happen enough that it's an expected outcome. In fact, when it doesn't happen, then it feels weird and strange and odd. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Tuesday mornings, a vote for TD of the week. It's our second show of the work week, but it's the one in which we mop up after another full weekend of the NFL. And the last game, Packers, Lions, Lambeau Field was rocking. It was good to see the fans there. And for Aaron Jones, not just Aaron Rodgers, it was a night in which he would shine. And there is an extra motivation that he shared with us after the game. So this wasn't just about getting the win. This wasn't just about going out and reminding the fans that they are still the defending NFC North champions, that they still have a potent offense after they lost by 35 points in the season opener. No, there was personal motivation for Aaron Jones because he lost his dad in April And this was the first opportunity for him to be back on the field at Lambeau with the fans and really celebrate his dad. And so because of that, not only was he getting a lot of carries and a lot of look out of the backfield, but everyone wanted him to do well.
Rodgers in the gun, the four of Detroit, second down and goal, flanked by Dillon. Receiver in motion. There's the jet sweep snap and a pass. And it goes off on the pass to Aaron Jones, who went right in front of Rodgers in the gun, caught it, drove to the far sideline. He's in for the four-yard touchdown on a pass. It's a jet sweep pass, and he ran right in front of Aaron, who pitches the ball right in front of him. And it was taken in for six by Aaron Jones. And the Packers are now within an extra point of tying the game.
Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One Radio Network. It was a back-and-forth affair in the first half. In fact, the Lions, the last three times they've played Green Bay, have scored first. They've scored on their opening drive. And so for Jared Goff and the Lions, there was a nice rhythm. There was a nice groove. We saw what he can do when he has time back there to throw. And the offensive line for Detroit is considered to be one of the strengths of this Lions team, as Dan Campbell, and Brad Holmes begin this rebuilding process and kind of remaking the Lions, but they like what they've got with their offensive line. And boy, do I love the all-white uniforms with the blue trim and the classic silver helmets. Those are snazzy. So that caught my eye, as much as Jared Goff being calm, cool, collected in the pocket, twice putting his team in front with touchdown drives, only to see the Packers turn around and tie Detroit, but then leading that two-minute drill just before half to a field goal. And the Lions were actually up 17-14 going into the halftime locker room. And after the game, Aaron Rodgers was asked about whether or not there was some of that unfamiliar panic or tension or anxiety in the locker room.
Another disjointed game, you know, with the possessions in the first half, basically three possessions. We scored on two of them. So that's back-to-back games of kind of some weird halves for us. But fortunately, we got in the end zone, you know, as opposed to last week just getting three. But I think we got into a flow in the second half. Sometimes it just takes one play. I think the throw over the top to Devontae kind of got us going. And, you know, throw to Bobby, you know, was a timely one as well.
The first half, it wasn't looking too great for us. But I was happy with how we finished. Definitely need to start faster as a team, and really in every phase. So we'll enjoy the win tonight, but we know that there's a lot to improve upon.
Matt LaFleur, that first half wasn't looking too great for us. Interestingly enough, under Coach LaFleur, who is now into his third season as the head coach of the Packers, they are perfect after losses. So they're 7-0 after losses with LaFleur as their head coach. And not that I knew this stat going in, but it just seems to underscore the point. After losses, the last five regular season losses for Green Bay, Rodgers has returned the next week by throwing four touchdown passes and no picks. That's exactly what happened on Monday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And yes, his number one target, though he did have a beaut of a touchdown pass to Robert Tonyan, his tight end, his number one target in this game, his running back Aaron Jones.
Four-man rush. There's the snap. Here's Rodgers. Short pass caught by Jones. 10, far side, 5, angling to the pylon. He'll run in. Touchdown. Aaron Rodgers has just thrown his fourth touchdown pass tonight. Do the running back Aaron Jones, and the Packers have gone up by 10 with 7 seconds to play on a rainy night here in the third quarter. Rodgers in the gun, first and goal at the one in Detroit. Raindrops now falling off his helmet. Gets the shotgun snap, hands off to Jones, digs through the rain and the slick grass, and dives for a touchdown over the left guard. And the Packers have scored again. His fourth touchdown tonight. And the Packers have gone up 34-17 over the Detroit Lions.
The Lions had a pair of turnovers in the second half. In fact, Jared Goff had a pair of turnovers in the second half, an interception as well as a fumble. And that ball was wet, slippery little sucker that it was. I don't think he ever had it in his hands. Just a botched reception from the snapper, from the center. And so they coughed up their opportunities in the second half and did not score. The Packers defense deserves some credit. Certainly the Packers offense being on the field and taking advantage and putting together some extended drives also deserves credit. Aaron Jones with a rushing touchdown and three receiving touchdowns on six catches. So he's targeted half dozen times. And among those catches, three touchdowns. First Packers running back to catch three touchdowns in a game since 1942. That, my friends, is your nerd alert.
That's nerd stuff.
Oh, yeah. But he says that he had his father on his mind and in his...
I think it was the second. My dad has always taught me, as a man, is how you respond to adversity, or how you respond is what makes you... what makes a man, really. And so I think we came out and we did a good job of responding. We played well. We played at a high level. It feels great, you know, just to get that ugly taste out of your mouth. We had to wait an extra day to get that taste out of our mouth. I wish we could have played on Thursday night, you know, but I'm glad we came out and handled business and back to playing Packer football.
So Aaron lost his dad going back to early April and wanted to share this experience with the fans in front of Lambeau, or there at Lambeau. And he was wearing a necklace that he lost on the field. So he, you're going to hear from him here in a second, but it was special for him with his dad. And so he was wearing it during the game, but somehow it came off his neck.
I think the grounds crew's about to go out there and look right now. But if it was any place to lose it, that's where my dad would have wanted me to lose it. So I know he's smiling. I think it was the second passing one where I ran out the flat, ran out the backfield on a flat in the end zone opposite of the tunnel. So it was on the right side of the field. It's a little black football, and inside it has my dad's ashes.
I really hope they found it by now. I can't imagine that the Packers grounds crew will rest until they have recovered this necklace with this little black football that contains his dad's ashes. I hope the little black football stayed secure and so his dad's ashes did not spill on the field, though. If that's what his dad would have wanted, I expect it's fitting since they did share the Packers experience. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, a complete and total turnaround from week number one when the Rodgers, Jones, Tonyan, Adams offense was really inefficient and ineffective.
In the situation of football, we were so bad in the red zone and third down first week. I don't think we converted one with the first unit, at least when I was out there. So it was nice to be, I think we were 4-for-4 in the red zone and had it been better than the first week on third downs.
Actually, they were 1-for-10 on third down last week against the New Orleans Saints, 5-for-9 last night, and a perfect 4-for-4 in the red zone. And it helps when you are giving the ball to your playmakers. It sounds like rocket science, right? No, that's actually the game plan.
I just really felt like going into this game, from an offensive perspective, we needed to get our playmakers the ball, and that is Davante Adams, that is Bobby Tonyan, that is Aaron Jones. We still had some opportunities there for MBS that we just didn't quite connect on. And so I know there's a lot more out there for not only this football team, but for our offense as well.
I knew this was going to happen. So did you. We all knew this is exactly what we would see. Regardless of opponent, there was no way that Rodgers specifically wasn't going to come back with a vengeance and put his best MVP foot forward and have a few of those kind of muted touchdown celebrations. So he does a fist pump here and there, but he also pumps ice water into his veins, and he has these facial expressions, these smirks where you just know exactly what he's thinking. And then of course, after the fact, I think this is the cut number, James. He has, even if it's a short message, it's gets his point across when it comes to those people who are ready to bury the team after their loss to the Saints.
There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
Oh, yeah, those trolls. Not like the Saints deserved it after, not like the Packers deserved it after losing by 35, failing to score a touchdown in their opener.
People are coming here to play with me.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Yeah, there was nothing to react to, right? Nothing to see here. Move along. Nothing to see here. 855-212-4227. What else is so predictable in sports you could see it coming from a mile away? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I know some of you are saying the Lions losing, that is predictable. But honestly, I liked what I saw from this team. It feels different. I don't know how long it'll be until they win a game. I'm not telling you they're going to have a winning season, but there's fight there. And in lieu of biting kneecaps, I think that's what Dan Campbell's looking for.
There's little things that we got to clean up, but there's also things that I'm encouraged by. There's some players that I'm encouraged by. Bobby Price encouraged me. Germ encouraged me. The offensive line encouraged me. Swifty encouraged me. There's a number of guys, and so I see improvement in areas, but certainly not enough. I mean, when you play a team like this, you can't have the mistakes that we had. So, yeah, we got to clean some of this stuff up.
I think, kind of mentioned it last week, but, like, we're getting better. And I think it's showing up in practice and today in the game in that first half. We are getting better. We are getting more and more on the same page as time goes on. And Dan says it all the time. It's a race to improve. How fast can we get to where we need to be? Because we're clearly not there yet.
That's a lot of what the first month and first 6 weeks of any season is about. It's about a race to consistency. And it does take teams that are in this rebuilding mode longer because they're starting from scratch. They've mixed and matched so many pieces. Jared Goff, 26 of 36, 246 yards, a couple of touchdowns in the first half, but also a couple of turnovers in the second half. Also, I wasn't going to play this soundbite because I don't really care about the rain and how it affected the offense, but they did have a couple of turnovers in the second half. And so Dan Campbell was asked about it. Something was going on with a post-game Zoom call. I don't know what was happening. Maybe it wasn't a Zoom call. It shouldn't be at this point. But just the background noise and the interference was funny.
You do wet ball drill, all those things. I don't think we thought it was going to get very bad. It really didn't either. I mean, I understand that we the first one he fumbled, he just pulled out quickly from under center. And then one, yeah, it went out of his hand, but I mean, that's what you got towels for and everything else. I mean, otherwise you don't wear towels. So, crap happened, and it's on us. And, they didn't have those errors. They didn't have the fumbles. We did, and that's on us.
Now, see, that's not a Zoom call, but it was on, we got it off of a website. And so something happened. Something got added in translation. The best is when he says fumble and it sounds like something gets dropped in the background, almost like he's demonstrating. remember the attack of the killer cell phone with the caller that we've had here on the show? I feel like producer James has used that a couple of times recently. So yeah, it was a good first half for the Lions. You can see flashes there. I was happy to see Jared Goff get comfortable, but there definitely was more pressure on him in the second half. He was moving around a little more, and then there were the turnovers, which have plagued him or did plague him last year specifically. Also, did you hear what they were saying on the Monday Night Football broadcast on ESPN? And I know this has been reported about how he's trying to put his trade from Los Angeles in the rearview mirror and how happy he is to be in a place where he's wanted. So that's not a revelation. But what I had not heard before until Steve Levy said it on Monday Night Football is that Jared did not hear a peep from the Lions front office. From the Rams front office or from Sean McVay. From the time they wrapped their season, remember they were in the playoffs, played the Seahawks, right? From the time they wrapped their season until he got the call about being traded. He went all that time and never heard a word. But of course, the Rams were working behind the scenes, and we knew that Sean McVay coveted a change at quarterback. There was all those rumors that were flying around, right? But he never heard a word. Not a phone call, not a text message, not a, hey, let's evaluate the season. Let's go back and look, see what we can do. No, not a word. Yeah, they beat the Seahawks, right? The Seahawks were the Seahawks won their division. They won the NFC West. And so the Rams beat the Seahawks. Remember, it was in Seattle. There were no fans. It was just this flat, empty performance by Seattle. But then the Rams lost to the Green Bay Packers in the divisional round. So from that point on, Jared Goff never heard from anyone until he got a call telling him he'd been traded to Detroit. Ha! Sounds like the kind of communication we get here in our business. We're actually in the communication business, and there's really no communication. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. What other storylines and outcomes are so unbelievably predictable in sports? Good morning to you on this Tuesday. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Two receivers right as well. Eason has a shotgun snap. Well protected. Lets it go. Right side. It's picked! Jalen Ramsey at the right sideline. Secures the week two win for LA.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
As always, there are a lot of different ways we can go with this category, but the defensive player of the week is Jalen Ramsey of the Rams, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. You can learn more at NavyFederal.com. We did not require your votes on this one, though I suspect there would have been some other candidates, but for the Rams to move to 2-0, they had to hold off a hard-charging Colts team. And not only did we see Matthew Stafford with some touchdown passes to Cooper Kupp that were dazzling, we also saw an interception late in the game off Jacob Eason, who had stepped in for Carson Wentz. And with that Jalen Ramsey pick, about 2 minutes and 13 seconds to go in this game, it was all she wrote, and the Rams didn't even need to do anything with the ball at that point, though they did go 3 and out, and so the defense, just to be on the safe side, had to make sure that the Colts could go nowhere with the ball in their last 20 seconds. Rams hold off the Colts 27-24, Jalen Ramsey once again earning his keep. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. JB Long with that call on the Rams Radio Network. Now we're talking about Carson Wentz, and we definitely have some more QB news, some injury news to pass along before the end of the show. But it wasn't just one ankle, the right ankle, that was sprained by Carson Wentz in the game on Sunday. Actually, the damage was more extensive than that.
Ankle got twisted up, felt it right away, did not feel good, tried to tape it up, spat it up, do everything I could to get out there and finish the game. And it's a bad feeling to not be out there, especially in that situation. Kind of feel like you kind of let the team down a little bit. So it's definitely frustrating, but it's football.
His status is up in the air for this upcoming week 3 game inside the division against the Tennessee Titans. According to Frank Reich and Carson himself, yeah, the right ankle was the more severe sprain, but he actually sprained both ankles against the Rams on Sunday. And so he was taken to the ground by Aaron Donald, something that many quarterbacks have to suffer, about 8 minutes to go in the game, and he limped to the sideline. He was really frustrated, even threw his helmet at one point, but was unable to go. He wanted to get back in the game, met with the medical staff, but because he had already sprained his left ankle earlier in the game, they did not want him back out there. And so Frank Reich says, because he knows Carson and because he's a fast healer, and we did see that during the preseason, right? He had the foot surgery on a broken foot, and the window they'd given us was, 6 to 12 or 8 to 12 weeks? He was back in 5. And so he did heal quickly and get back to the team, and he started the season opener. Frank says if there's any chance he can play with these ankle sprains, he'll play because Tennessee is an incredibly big game. This may surprise you, but Wentz passed for nearly 500 yards so far in the season. He did have three touchdowns and a pick in the first two games, both of them losses. But he's been hit a lot. So that offensive line that has been so good for the Colts the last couple seasons, Wentz has been sacked a half dozen times and hit 21 times in two games. So an official stat that is kept in addition to stats, a stack, Amy. It's Tuesday morning and I'm still feeling the football hangover. And so, yeah, this is going to happen. Just it's predictable. It's like clockwork that I'm going to say stupid stuff on a Tuesday morning. So the official stat of quarterback hits is also kept in games. And sometimes I highlight it when it feels like a quarterback is getting a lot of attention from the defense and they're getting to him too often. Additional 21 QB hits with those six sacks. And so he's seeing a lot of contact and he's definitely feeling it. Now with two sprained ankles, will he be available for Tennessee? That remains to be seen. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line. So we still have your TD of the Week candidates. If you heard them already, the poll is up on social media. So check it out on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, and then also on our Facebook page. And we'll reveal those candidates again if you're just joining us. Also, the rest of the injury updates as it pertains to the quarterbacks, because there was a rash of injuries, high-profile injuries on Sunday, like Brandon Graham, the defensive end for the Eagles. He has a torn Achilles. He confirmed it on social media. But also some of the others that we've seen, I could think the San Francisco 49ers with a couple more running back injuries. Of course, the TJ Watt groin injury, and it was a groin problem that also kept Joe Hayden and Devin Bush off the field for the Steelers on Sunday. So a bunch of injuries in week number two, more high profile than what we saw in the season openers.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1.
Touchdown!
Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the Week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Baltimore Ravens.
Ravens break the huddle and come up to the line of scrimmage. Jackson will go under center. Ricard is the fullback, Williams the tailback. Now Jackson falls back into the shotgun. He takes the snap, holds it out for Williams. Jackson keeps it, runs right, and somersaults into the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens, and Baltimore has taken the lead. 3 minutes and 14 seconds to go, and the Ravens have their first lead tonight. Lamar Jackson kept it, went running to the right. He was all by his lonesome and a little showtime at the end. Baltimore goes in front.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Three receivers left. Shotgun snap. Back to throw. Murray in trouble. Spins out of there to his left. Being chased by two Vikings. And launches it deep. Wide open near side at the 40s. Rondale Moore caught at the 30. At the 20. At the 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. Kyler Murray. You are ridiculous. Murray magic. 77-yard touchdown pass. 99.9% of the quarterbacks on the planet get sacked. But not only does Kyler Murray not get sacked, he throws a touchdown.
The Tennessee Titans.
They run Henry on the left side. He's got some room to the 45. He's outside to the 50. He's to the 40. He's to the 30. He's to the 20. He's to the 10. He's to the 5. He's to the end zone.
Yes.
Touchdown, Titans. Derrick Henry just went 60.
Does that counter hand back. Guess how it worked this time. Touchdown.
The Green Bay Packers.
Shotgun snap, four-man rush. Rodgers sets, catches, and throws a line drive down the middle. Caught in stride. Hash mark, goal line, touchdown. Robert Tonyan, the tight end. A 22-yard laser thrown by Aaron Rodgers. With the rain picking up in intensity, the Packers have gone on top.
Oh, and it ends so abruptly. There was more to say if I know Kevin Harlan, but you get the point. Robert Tonyan catching a dart. It was a perfect pass from Aaron Rodgers, and it came on the heels of a perfect pass down the sidelines to Devontae Adams to set up that touchdown. I believe the one to Adams was a 50-yard strike. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Your candidates for TD of the week. Going backwards from Green Bay on Monday Night Football. So predictable. Four touchdowns for Aaron Rodgers. Four touchdowns for one Aaron Jones. Kevin Harlan with the highlights on the Westwood One Radio Network. Before that, this was my candidate for TD of the week. It's the one I voted for. In fact, I'm watching it right now. Derrick Henry back to being the king. Mike Keith on the Titans Radio Network, his 60-yard rushing touchdown to me was the turning point, the catalyst, the spark for that comeback against the Seattle Seahawks. From the desert, all gas, no brakes between the Cardinals and the Vikings. Dave Pasch on the Cardinals Radio Network, Kyler Murray, well, you know, cheat code material. And then before that, Baltimore with the somersaulting of Lamar Jackson. What is happening right now? I'm seeing it on TV as well. Why are they copying us? Lamar Jackson had no one around him, not within 10 feet. So he had time to pull up and somersault into the end zone on the go-ahead touchdown against the Chiefs in the fourth quarter. Ryan Radke again on the Westwood One Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Would you like to vote for TD of the week? Because it's a touchdown Tuesday morning. You can find our poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A Law Radio. Here a retweet. And then also on our Facebook page, we're always happy to have you. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And we will reveal your choice for TD of the week on our hump show, which also features the return of Ask Amy Anything. We put it on the shelf for most of the summer, but it is back. And we got great volume of questions. I wouldn't say they're all great. I know that your kindergarten teacher told you that there's no such thing as a stupid question. That is inaccurate. There are definitely stupid questions. But we did get a high number of questions submitted. A lot of them were great questions, ones that I hadn't heard before, and it was the first opportunity for producer James to sift through your questions, so he'll have another chance coming up on Tuesday night into Wednesday. Technically, it's a Wednesday morning when we get to Ask Amy Anything, but it's always part of our middle show of the work week, our hump show. All right, I promised you some updates from the world of quarterbacks, because they do operate in a completely different world than the rest of us mere mortals. We heard from Carson Wentz what happened to his right ankle on Sunday against the Rams, how desperately he would like to be out there and feeling like he's let his team down when he's not available to play. But we do not have his status for the upcoming weekend, nor do we have the status of Tua Tagovailoa. So he's got a rib injury. And Brian Flores did give an update, kind of, but we don't really know a whole lot, just that he's in a lot of pain.
We're still running some tests. In a lot of pain yesterday, still in a good deal of pain today, but I think we'll call him day to day right now.
So he's considered day to day after that Miami loss. I could use a stronger word, but they got skunked by the Buffalo Bills. It was brutal, and it really did require a complete pivot once Jacoby Brissett entered the game. Now, Brissett threw for 169 yards and an interception. He's not a rookie quarterback. He's not a newbie. We're not talking about a guy with no experience. He's got plenty. It's just still, he's not Tua, and the offense has been working with Tua. And then you're talking about a hit on the second drive of the game that knocks your quarterback out, and suddenly everyone has to adjust. So it doesn't surprise me that they had a poor offensive performance, though credit the Bills, defense, for limiting them and for essentially pitching a shutout. skunking them, if you will. So we don't know about Tua. We don't have any definitive information on Carson Wentz. What about Tyrod Taylor? We do have some information on Tyrod. We know that he will not be active for the Texans game against the Panthers coming up on Thursday night because Tyrod, with a quick turnaround, is getting an MRI on his left hamstring. Even though he's considered day-to-day, the reports are out there that he will not be available to play Thursday. But we were asking the question about Deshaun Watson and what they're going to do at quarterback, because Watson has been inactive for the first two games. We know they're going to start rookie Davis Mills, but don't you need another quarterback just in case Mills gets knocked out? Here's David Culley from Monday.
First of all, let me just start off and just say this before I get asked. Deshaun Watson will be deactivated this week, just like he has been for the first two ball games. As far as Tyrod goes, at this point right now, it's day to day. You know, he's getting an MRI. He's been looked at. We'll just see later on this afternoon how it is and how it is, you know, what happens, and we'll just take it day to day with him. If he's able to go and ready to go, he'll play.
All right, so that's different than what we've heard from some of the NFL insiders who are saying that Tyrod will not play on Thursday. There's no way that he's going to be able to make that start on a short work week. But David Culley's not giving us that kind of information, only saying that he's day to day. But he also went ahead and got out in front of it and said, hey, we're going with Davis Mills. This is for the long haul. This is not for the short haul. And Deshaun Watson is not going to be active. And I even heard that they're actually bringing up Jeff Driscoll from the practice squad to back up Davis Mills. So you've got this high-priced quarterback who is seemingly healthy, but no matter what, the Texans don't want him on the field. Deshaun doesn't want to be on the field. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle told us 2 weeks ago, all of this is a moot point. There's no point to asking the question because Deshaun Watson is not going to play. I don't know if they sign another quarterback or Deshaun runs the practice squad. I have no idea, but it's so odd. And it's so strange. Now, Culley did say that Tyrod wanted to go back in the game, but they were worried about the hamstring injury getting worse. And so here they are in no man's land. Whether you believe it's day-to-day or whether you believe he's out and Davis Mills is starting, I mean, neither situation is optimal on a short work week, but it will not be Deshaun Watson. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As for Andy Dalton, this was also a little bit odd. Matt Nagy as the head coach he was uncomfortable being put on the spot when he had an exchange with reporters about Andy Dalton and whether or not Andy is still the Bears starter.
If Andy's healthy, is he your starter?
If Andy is healthy, is he your starter? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad. That's 100% scheme.
Well, Brad, after a back and forth with Matt Nagy, he departs the media room. What happens a few minutes later? A team official comes in with a statement indicating that, yes, in fact, Andy Dalton is still the starter. When he's healthy and ready to go, Andy Dalton will play. This is after Matt Nagy leaves the room. Well, that's not weird or anything. Apparently, he tried to say that Coach Nagy misunderstood the question. I don't know, James, how do you misunderstand that question? If Andy Dalton is healthy, is he still your starter? And Matt Nagy declines to answer, saying it's scheme. I mean, it sounds like a personnel question to me, but.
Right. I mean, I don't see how asking who's going to be your starting quarterback is telling you to open up the playbook, but I don't know. I guess he just didn't want to answer it.
He's taking a page out of Matt Nagy's or out of Kyle Shanahan's book. Can't stand these reporters. I refuse to answer just on principle. I mean, actually, what did Kyle Shanahan tell us at one point that I'm not answering because you all should know by now?
As long as I can keep surviving press conferences.
Uh-huh. It's hard-hitting stuff there. So Matt Nagy apparently had a change of heart and sent a team official trotting back into the media room to say, actually, when Andy is healthy, Andy will start. I apologize, but Coach Nagy misunderstood the question. Sure he did. Sure. He misunderstood the question.
I'm a football coach. I'm not a doctor.
Oh, wait. Speaking of Bill Belichick, I saw the best answer on our Facebook page. So get to your summary answers here as we go through these final 90 seconds of the show. We're asking you, what else is so predictable in sports that you can see it coming a mile away? For instance, I knew Aaron Rodgers was going to go out there on Monday night and flash that MVP form. Nothing is more predictable than Aaron Rodgers with a chip on his shoulder. And yes, he does. He goes out with 4 touchdowns, no turnovers. It's a divisional game. It's under the lights. He has a little dig for his trolls and his doubters after the game. Uh-huh. I mean, like clockwork. So I was asking you this question, what else is as predictable in sports? And I see this post from Jeffrey on Facebook. Bill Belichick will answer nothing in his post-game interview.
I told you everything I know.
On to the next one. Or when he talks about how every position is one that we'll look at and we're evaluating and we'll have these discussions.
I don't have an explanation for what happened.
Let's see, Clint on Facebook, a New York Jets rookie quarterback throwing 4 interceptions and no touchdowns in a game. And then he points to Zach Wilson, who just did it this weekend against the Pats, Sam Darnold, Mark Sanchez. Apparently there's actually a pattern there. So Zeddy on Facebook, my Dallas Cowboys being the cardiac kids. Let's see, Steven says the Cowboys barely winning games against really bad teams. So there's some good predictable outcomes in sports from those of you on Facebook and also some good ones on Twitter as well. A-Law Radio. Lisa says Alabama making the college football playoff. Yep, that's been mentioned multiple times. Also, there was another one here that made me laugh. Oh, Samuel, a left-hand turn in NASCAR. Nate says Rodgers, meaning Aaron, having a thin skin. That's totally predictable. And then Lowell says the Braves turning things around after struggling most of the season. This last one with Phil, the Pittsburgh Pirates losing 100 games. If I'm not mistaken, they sit at 94 right now. We'll talk to you tonight after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.